Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing Buy Nothing Groups, Student Loan Forgiveness Made Easy, and Jack Cries Hyperinflation.
That's right, we're going to talk about Jack Dorsey, plus a bunch of other stories, actual stories that we came across this week.
And we're not going to be commenting on the newest iteration of his facial hair, because that's constantly changing. Could be a podcast, I think, dedicated solely to that if we wanted
what's
one.
What's he got going on right now?
It's like a very long-looking goatee.
Oh, well, he's always had that. Like, it's just a wild-looking beard. But first, we wanted to share that we are going to have some listener hangs here in Atlanta, not today, not this Friday. But rather, next Friday, November 5th, we are going to be meeting up at Monday Night Garage at 7:45. I think Joel's going to be paying for beers. But please come out. If you are in Atlanta or near Atlanta, we would love for you to come out November 5th, Monday Night Garage. We're going to have a little How to Money listener hang.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Matt, here's why, though, I won't be able to pay for beers.
Okay,
sadly.
Tell me.
Because I just bought a ticket to go to the World Series.
Yeah. Okay, so you pulled the trigger. You're doing it.
I did. And so, yeah, this is, instead of frugal or cheap, this is dumb or criminally insane.
No, it is not, because you are such a big Braves fan, and this is something that's going to be worth it for you, right? I mean, and not to mention, since you're covering beers for everybody, we know that you're in a good place financially. It would be different if you were saddled with loads of debt. Right. It would be different if you hadn't been making smart moves with your money for the past 15 years.
Right. Yeah. 10 years ago, going to the World Series, which wasn't an option because it's been 22 years since the Braves have been to the World Series.
1999, right?
Yeah. And, okay. and that has been one of those like bucket list items since I was a kid.
Yeah,
is
dude.
Going to a World Series game.
Man, go and enjoy the heck out of it. Like, do you feel guilty at all for kind of, I mean, this is
a small amount.
It's a decent splurge.
I will say it's a small amount of guilt, okay. For sure. But
you need to push that out of your mind and just enjoy it to the max. And I want you to extract every amount of enjoyment from that game.
Oh, I will.
But don't lose your voice, because we need to record.
I thought
on
about
Monday.
That. I'll try not to. But fortunately, at least one of my friends is a season ticket holder, and so I saw that standing room tickets are going for like $800. I paid $400 for the ticket.
Oh,
so
dude, that is awesome.
It's definitely a discount, right?
It's not
quite full freight, which I'm thankful for. Because to be honest, like we all have a price threshold, kind of like that four pack of beer I talked about recently. I walked away from it. If it was $800 to get in, I would say no.
Plus standing room only. Like you do not have a guaranteed seat,
right?
If you're just getting that $800 ticket.
Yeah, which I'd be okay with standing room only if it was like, even if it was like $250 or something like that. But we all have our breaking point. But $400 for me for this bucket list item.
Yeah,
I'm doing it. So go Braves. We'll see if we can win game three tonight. I'm sure hoping so.
Well, even though I haven't been following it at all, I'm hoping so as well. I mean, I'm not... So, I mean, back when I was a kid, like when I was 10 or 11 years old, there wasn't anything bigger than the Braves back in the 90s.
That's right.
But I haven't been following it as closely. But even I might turn the game on here in the next couple days.
Well, let's hope my face paint itself gets on the TV. But all right, let's move on to the Friday flight. It's a sampling of stories we found interesting this week and how those pertain to your money. And so the first story we wanted to cover today, truly one person's trash is another person's treasure. The New York Times had a great write-up on Buy Nothing groups that's really worth reading. We'll link to it in our show notes. But the passionate folks in these groups, they do a fantastic job, really, of offering up used goods that might otherwise end up in the landfill. I'm always amazed at some of the things that get posted in our local Buy Nothing group. The New York Times actually mentioned dryer lint being something that got snatched up recently.
You can use that to like kindling for a little campfire.
Or hamster beds, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. But yeah, it's a little weird. And somebody in mine this week was requesting acorns.
Oh, they should come over to our house.
Okay.
The oak trees behind our house are dropping acorns left and right. I mean, as we're sitting here working, you can
hear them
falling.
Yeah. So it's kind of just a fascinating place, because you never know what somebody's going to offer up or what somebody's going to request. And I actually just scored 2 Halloween costumes this week on the Buy Nothing group. I myself am going to be the man in the yellow hat from Curious George, and my little dude, I wish he got a Curious George costume. But
that would have been great.
I know, but he's going to be a dinosaur. So
okay,
free costumes for the win.
Nice. I didn't know y'all were doing a dinosaur. So I think Westy's going to be an alligator.
Oh,
because Kate and I we're planning to be Loki,
which is basically a dinosaur.
Yeah, but specifically Alligator Loki.
Okay, I don't know what that is. So.
Yeah, you'll see.
Okay.
So what's the weirdest thing that you have seen in our local Buy Nothing group? Because, you know, with it being predominantly on Facebook, I am not on there.
Yeah,
but I did see that Buy Nothing, that they're looking to launch a standalone app, in which case I could totally see myself getting on there. I just don't like getting inundated with all the other distractions, actually hopping in Facebook.
I know. I rarely head over there to Facebook in general. I will say the great thing now, though, is I have the News Feed Eradicator plugin.
Yeah.
I've had that for years.
So do you have that on your phone as well?
No, but I don't usually use it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
So I usually go just on the desktop and I go straight to the How to Money Facebook group to check in on things there. And I go to local Buy Nothing or the neighborhood civic association groups. And groups are really the only thing I use Facebook for. I don't ever post. I don't really read people's stuff. That's just, there's a lot of crummy things about Facebook or time-sucking things about Facebook, and I just want to use it for only the tools that I enjoy. But I just wanted to say, Buy Nothing groups can be a little weird, a little offbeat, but adorable at the same time, and I just encourage other folks to join one if they're on Facebook, and if not, look forward to this standalone app in the future so that you can still participate, because it really, it's like neighbors helping neighbors, and I think it's just like, it's a good thing, and that's one of the positive benefits that the internet has brought us, that connectivity on that level is just, that's a good stuff.
Yeah, those Buy Nothing groups are a great way to keep you from spending all of your money. And on a related note, let's talk about the high price of burnout, because there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal detailing the reality that most of us tend to spend more money when we're exhausted and when we're overwhelmed. We spend on the little conveniences that we might otherwise have considered too costly, or these once in a while treats kind of like they become more habitual, they become more regular, they find their way into our monthly budgets. And so when you've been put through the ringer at work, or if you have other stressors that are impacting your life, it's important to recognize what's going on. We don't want you to fall prey to the burnout temptation of just scrolling on Instagram and more spur of the moment purchases. On one hand, I understand the need for expenses to go up if you're working a lot. I was talking with a friend of mine earlier this week, and he has been working until like 8, 9, even 10 o'clock at night, and I guarantee that he doesn't have time these days to go to the grocery store on the way home from work, go home, cook himself a nice, affordable, healthy meal.
Eating those Hot Pockets.
hopefully not Hot Pockets. Hopefully the firm is covering dinner for them as well, which I'm sure is the case, but there's a lot of folks who don't have those kind of perks, and in those instances, I understand, especially when it comes to food, there is a convenience, like there's a higher cost of convenience that you're going to pay for in order to eat some food quickly without that taking a lot of time. But hopefully, in addition to that, you're also making a little bit more money. And so in my mind, it kind of balances out a little bit. But on the other hand, if you're a little burnt out and that's causing you to consume, like buy more dumb stuff, basically, that's definitely something we want to warn folks about. When your consumeristic defenses are down, essentially, it can be easy to get knocked in the face, and all of a sudden you're buying a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we want folks to avoid.
For sure. Yeah. It's like the shields being down on
The
Millennium Falcon or something like that. And then you're just more prone to attack.
It's the Death Star, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do you?
My Star Wars references are terrible. But yeah, so it just makes me think that breaking that habit of scrolling is a good thing. Like working to break that habit is helpful. That Newsfeed Eradicator app that I mentioned is a helpful one to help break that habit. But if you still just kind of love the idea of mindless scrolling, instead of scrolling Instagram where every fourth thing you see is an ad, scroll that Buy Nothing group instead and find the funky things that, you know, you might be able to go pick up from a neighbor for free instead of buying something. And also, find alternatives to the costly purchases that burnout can cause. We would say, get outside. You might feel like you can't afford to take the time for, let's say, a 20-minute walk out in nature or in your neighborhood, but in reality, you probably can't afford not to. Financial margin is crucial, but if you feel like you're hitting a wall when it comes to the demands on your time, it's crucial to take a step back and find ways to incorporate activities that are going to lead to better health overall for you.
Yeah, you can't just focus only on the money and achieving whatever financial goals you've set for yourself.
Yeah, you got to think about the holistic person. And then if burnout is this continual struggle for you and work is the perpetual culprit, well, it might be time to look elsewhere and to prioritize an employer who incorporates better boundaries, who doesn't expect you to reply to a Slack message at 8 p.m., expect you to be constantly checking your phone. And this is a great time to look elsewhere if you're feeling like, you know what, there's no way out of this burnout conundrum in the situation that I currently find myself in. I've got to get out of it completely.
That's right, man. Let's talk about cars next. We saw that the average price of a new car has just topped $45,000 for the first time. This is according to Consumer Reports and True Car. Dude, $45,000 is a tremendous amount of money.
That's 9 times what I paid for Homer. So.
And with supply chain bottlenecks and the car industry being basically in the dumps, like, you can't even get the exact car that you want right now. From
like, I'm sorry, your car's going to have to be hot pink, sir.
No, seriously, exactly. Yeah. There's different folks we know who are looking at getting new vehicles, and basically they can't get what they want. It's more like a beggars can't be choosers mindset, or like take what you can get scenario out there. And this, that just puts it in perspective how expensive new cars are. On top of that, the average price on a new truck, it's even more, dude, $60,000. While it's certainly possible for a new car to be your craft beer equivalent, you'll want to make sure that you're doing some soul searching before you decide that it definitely is. If your splurge has a couple extra zeros after it,
you need to think a little bit harder.
Think twice. And even though used car prices are through the roof as well, just the current stratosphere that new car prices have reached just makes it an even bigger financial commitment. And it means that your personal finances have to be in excellent shape in order to make a purchase of this magnitude.
I agree. And speaking of Consumer Reports, Matt, they were writing a bunch of winning stuff this week. I love that they dropped the knowledge about how much these cars are costing right now, the average price of a new car skyrocketing. But they wrote another article which showed that Americans are overpaying on their car loans. So in addition to the higher sticker price, they're also paying higher rates of interest unnecessarily, in fact, despite having a great credit score. Dealerships often succeed in writing you a loan at an interest rate far beyond what you should be paying. First things first, Matt and I don't like car loans. We don't,
not at all.
Like buying new cars in general, or taking out loans to pay for depreciating assets. Although one could argue that cars are not a depreciating asset in the here and now.
But that's extremely rare.
Exactly.
And don't count on that continuing.
Exactly. We would prefer to see you pay cash for a car, even if it means buying an extremely used car in even like the $5,000 range. That is exactly how much my current minivan cost two years ago.
Which the equivalent today might be like $7,500 perhaps. Is what you can find a decent used car for.
Right. But if you do decide to take on a car loan, know what your credit score is before you start the search. And if you've got good credit, we would say push to get a competitive rate. Don't just take the rate that's given to you. And that means shopping around. And so we would say check with your local credit union to see what rates you might qualify for before you go car shopping. You want to have that quote in hand so that when a dealership says, here's the rate you qualify at, and you say, that's funny, my credit union says I qualify at 3.5%, and you're telling me it's 12%? That doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
And since we're seeing record levels of car debt overall, it's just important to mention that car debt sucks. Like, it's a crummy thing to have. We don't want you to have it. It might have become perfectly normal in our culture overall, but it shouldn't be normal for How to Money listeners. We want you to avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, so the higher cost of new cars in general, that coupled with higher rates of interest that these different lenders are pushing on folks, both of those things have led to the average new car monthly payment being $568 last year.
Ouch.
All-time highs, which would give you more than enough to fully fund a Roth IRA. So essentially, that car payment is keeping you from becoming a millionaire by the time you retire. So
yep.
Keep that in mind.
When you think about it like that, the trade-off factor,
it is not worth it.
Nope, not.
Not at all. And dude, one of the worst parts about buying a new car, I mean, besides how much they cost, is the car warranty robocalls that you'll have to endure.
That might be worse than the monthly payment.
You've seen like the different memes, right? Where it's just like, we've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty. Have you seen those?
I have.
They're like, yeah, in like a fortune cookie or like on a pregnancy test. Or my favorite one, I actually saw one recently that I like looking at memes. It's how I like to spend the remaining minutes I have before I go to bed. But there was one that I saw that was on the Squid Game invitation card. You know, the card where they invite folks to the game, and he flips it over and it's like, we've been trying to contact you. Which, on that note, actually, next week, we actually recorded a Squid Game financial lessons, money lessons episode, and you can look forward to that one next week, next Wednesday. But regarding these robocalls, Americans receive roughly 13 billion of these specific types of phone calls every year. They're actually the top scam phone call in the U.S. right now, according to RoboKiller and according to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. So David Lazarus from the L.A. Times, he picked up his pen. He got to work.
His proverbial pen. I think the laptop is his pen of choice these days.
It's true. He probably actually writes things out on the computer. But he noted that these supposed warranties are actually just service contracts that aren't worth the paper that they're written on. I think we all maybe suspected that, but he is confirming it, and we wanted to share that with you. But these extended warranties in general, it's a tenuous decision. These aren't great products, and we would prefer for you to have the money on hand to pay for these repairs instead of plunking down thousands of dollars on a warranty, even if it's directly from the manufacturer of your vehicle. But if you're getting a call from, you know, one of these scam warranty companies, we would recommend that you definitely hang up the phone.
Yes, and if you open up the fortune cookie, yeah, just toss that in the trash, because you want to avoid these at every turn. The manufacturer's warranties aren't trash. They're still probably not worth the money. It's better just to have the money on hand and not put the thousands of hard-earned dollars towards that extended warranty, especially if the kind of vehicle that you purchased is mostly reliable. But yeah, with that being literally the hottest, the number one scam these days, we wanted to mention, hang up the phone, don't even consider it. But we've got more to get to on this episode, Matt, including cries of hyperinflation from the Twitter master himself. We'll talk about that right after this.
All right, we're back from the break talking about headlines we came across this week. This is our Friday Flight. And of course, it's time now to get to our ludicrous headline of the week, which actually doesn't have to do with hyperinflation. We'll get to that story here in a second. But the actual ludicrous headline is Florida Man, which you always got to love headlines to start with Florida Man. Florida Man.
You've piqued my interest already.
Wins lottery and plans to buy a toothbrush. This is an article from a local news organization in Florida. And listener Dan, he posted this in the Facebook group. A young dude named Brian, he ended up winning $1 million from a scratch-off. And, you know, good for him. Glad he won some money. But we just wanted everyone real quick to know that we do not support you playing the lottery.
Don't do it.
I mean, here's the thing.
Don't buy a new car. Don't play the lottery.
If you are 100% doing it because you know that you're just doing it for kicks, and if you're in a financial position to absorb that cost, I want it to be in your budget. Like, I want it to be this planned, decisive thing that you've decided in a moment of clarity.
Yeah, not if you do it with your coworkers or something like that, it feels okay. But if you're going to the gas station every day to buy three or four tickets,
that kind of thing.
That's probably unhealthy.
Exactly, yeah. But Brian, he was insanely lucky. And so now he's got a lot of unexpected money flowing into his life. And so what's he going to do with it? He wants a new pair of flip-flops, plus that electric toothbrush that we mentioned in the title. This guy's awesome. It sounds like that hopefully he'll be able to avoid, you know, the lotto curse of declaring bankruptcy within just a couple of years of winning. And so fingers crossed that he'll be able to keep his desires in check as that money starts to flow into his account. And by the way, you know, he won $1 million, but he's actually receiving less than $800,000 because of taxes.
Taxes.
So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, you definitely... Yeah, because you start spending all that money, you see the headline number, and it's like, that's not actually how much money you're going to get. And if he lived in a state like California, he'd be getting even less, but Florida, yes. No state income tax. So good on you, Brian. But Matt, let's keep moving on. If the ludicrous headline was a tweet, it might have been one from Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey this week. He made a remark about hyperinflation, and his tweet read, and I quote, "Hyperinflation is going to change everything. It's happening," end quote. And
all right, buddy.
I didn't know how to respond to that. I didn't actually respond to that, and not that he would have read it if I did.
I think he was waiting on you to get back.
He was like, how do the money guys feel about my tweet?
Joel, what do you think about my take?
Well, I think my complete dismissal of it, Jack, tells you everything you need to know. It's important to note, though, that there is a huge difference between the inflation that is happening right now that Matt and I have been talking about for months and months and months, and hyperinflation. Just ask somebody who lives in Venezuela, what's hyperinflation like?
Oh, yeah.
It's a completely different scenario than what we're enduring here in the United States.
Where it's like 2,000% is their inflation rate right now.
Exactly, yes.
And it's a far cry from what we are currently dealing with.
And when he says it's happening now, well, hyperinflation has an actual definition, and you can compare what's happening now in real numbers to the actual definition, and you can see that it doesn't hold any water. His argument doesn't hold any water. And basically, the definition is when the price for goods and services are going up at roughly 50% a month or 1,000% in a year. And so, yeah, we talked about rising prices in this country, and they certainly are going up. But that would mean that that price or on that good or service is going up every single day.
like you might, double digits
yeah,
every single day.
You might check a price on Amazon in the morning, and by that evening it costs 10% more.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
like, whoa, I should have bought it earlier. But that is not what's happening in this country.
We're seeing that a year later, not 24 hours later.
Yes, yes. And so I feel like this is like kind of crying wolf. It's getting people, throwing some people in a tizzy, and no, hyperinflation is not here. We all know that Twitter is not the best place to get your information or to have a nuanced conversation about the crucial topics of our day. But this really only reinforces that.
And the inflation that we are experiencing, like you said, Joel, it is sticking around more than we expected, but we're nowhere near hyperinflation. Like, it would seriously wreck our economy, and we are not seeing that. I'm not going to say that it's impossible, because I don't know what the future holds, but it is not something at all that we're expecting to see on the horizon anytime soon. And Joel, since we've just got done talking about sort of a tech blunder, maybe Jack stepping in it a little bit there on Twitter, let's mention another. This one involves buying stuff online. Bloomberg, they had this interesting article about bots buying Christmas gifts. That's right.
That sounds cute.
These are non-cute bots.
For their little bot daughters and sons.
Less robots and more automated software, which is snapping up in-demand items and reselling them for a profit. These bots are doing the bidding of folks who are trying to make just a massive profit from items that are in extremely limited supply. This is especially prevalent in like the white hot market of sneakers. You know, after those bots, they'll buy hundreds or thousands of items just in mere seconds. They then just will turn around and then list those now sold out items on sites like eBay, which I don't like. I don't like eBay being used that way, for double.
We like eBay as a site, though.
I like eBay. I don't like that that's happening to eBay.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean,
it makes eBay get a bad rap.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And
it's not eBay's fault.
I see it as such, especially since I've been on there selling more recently, I see it as such a bastion of, you know, instead of, you know, buying nothing, it's like, well, you can buy stuff you need and make a small profit.
Yeah.
But it just helps keep stuff from going into the landfills.
And how many Yeezys did you buy while you were on there?
None.
Okay.
But sadly, these folks who are doing this, there's not much that can be done about it. There are a couple of companies that are selling this just different anti-bot software to some of the big retailers like Walmart. And hopefully we will see that curb some of this nefarious behavior that's going on. However, we wanted to share this with you because if there is an item that you really, really want and it sells out, that doesn't mean that you should pay double or even triple for it elsewhere. Instead, we want you to keep shopping or maybe even do the harder thing of like changing your mind and saying, okay, I no longer want this thing that I really, really wanted. Do some mental gymnastics.
Jedi mind tricks.
And choose something else.
Another Star Wars reference.
Oh,
you like that?
Oh, two for two. I think we actually got that one right. Whereas
these are no
one...
longer the Yeezys you are looking for.
I love it.
If you could say that to yourself, it's going to help a lot.
That's what
yeah.
you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're going to see more and more of these shenanigans. Whatever the hot toy is of the moment, we're going to see more people with these automated programs snapping them up, basically grinching the stuff that you might have bought for your child or for yourself. And I hate seeing that. Hopefully these anti-bot softwares that are starting to get really good are implemented more widely across more of these sites that these bots are targeting. But let's move on to student loans for a second. Matt, there is some urgent news that we have to share for anybody out there who has student loans. No, your payments have not resumed yet. The
not
education
yet.
Yeah, coming up soon, next year, February. But the education department has relaxed the requirements for what counts as qualified payments in the PSLF program, Public Service Loan Forgiveness. This is huge because it means that about 22,000 borrowers will automatically see their remaining loans erased.
Like straight up, poof,
gone.
It's gone.
Yep,
yeah.
Like magic. And then another 27,000 borrowers could join them if they can show they were previously working in public service when they made payments that were considered ineligible at the time. And additionally, an estimated 550,000 borrowers will be able to have payments that were previously made to federal family education loans and federal Perkins loans count towards PSLF too. The only catch is, if you haven't applied for PSLF, you have until October 31st, Halloween, which is this weekend, to do so.
You've got 2 days.
So we're going to put the link to the site where you do that on howtomoney.com. Time is of the essence. You got to do it immediately. But I'll read the website real quick too. It's studentaid.gov/PSLF waiver.
That's right. And on the note of student loans, you know, we've talked about a few of the major student loan servicers who are all getting out of the federal student loan servicing game. So let's give some more details on that. Specifically, loans with Navient are going to be now serviced by Maximus. If you were with FedLoan, you might end up over at Mohila, Nelnet, Ed Financial, and Maximus. Those are all options for you. And then Granite State loans will be transferred over to Ed Financial as well. This is all going to be happening in the next couple of months, and new servicers should be in place by the end of the year. Your repayment plans and interest rates will all remain the same, of course. And the good news is that you shouldn't have to do anything if your loans are currently in deferment or if they're in forbearance. That should automatically carry over. But of course, with something this big and complicated, something where the federal government is involved, you never know. And so that's why we want this to be on your radar.
A lot of moving parts right here.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. And I would be actually shocked if everything goes as smoothly as it's supposed to.
Agreed.
Just like in my own life, I assume that things are going to go so well. Whenever I am telling Emily how long it's going to take me to fix something, how long I'll be away from the house, she's always like, 20 minutes, really? Like, how long is it actually going to take?
Times three.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to take 20 minutes because I'm an optimist, but you're right. It is always times three.
It's more like an hour.
And some of you may have already received information on this, but if you haven't, we would suggest logging into your current servicer, making sure they have all your updated information, because you want to make sure you're getting all the correct details about the transition. And even if you have been getting that updated info, it wouldn't hurt to go ahead and make sure you have copies of all your information, like your payment history and your current balances on hand. In particular, if you're working towards PSLF, you'll want to file an employment certification form to verify the number of payments you've made so far.
That's an ECF, by the way.
Oh, you like the abbreviations?
Oh, yeah.
Acronyms. Go for it. Again, none of this should be absolutely necessary,
yeah.
But it wouldn't hurt to have your info saved on your own computer in case any snafus arise. One thing you will need to do, most folks probably were enrolled in autopay back before your federal student loans were put on hiatus. If so, you actually need to confirm your autopay in order for those payments to automatically resume in February. So if your servicer has changed, those auto payments aren't going to just turn on and resume. You've got to go in there and manually do something.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there's no rush on that, unlike the making sure that you sign up for that PSLF waiver. But do keep that in mind as you are transitioned over to that new servicer. But I'm pretty sure we'll be revisiting this topic in the coming months as well as we get closer to February of next year. But Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. Again, we want to remind folks that we're going to have that listener hang coming up next Friday, November 5th. You should be able to recognize Joel and I. We look like the guys on the cover of your podcast artwork. Except I do look different. I got longer hair now. But we'll be out there hopefully enjoying.
It's much grayer too.
It's not that gray.
I'm just giving you crap.
Hey, I'm actually not ashamed of having not just gray, but white hairs. It's a sign of maturity.
That's what some would say. But yeah, and I'm going
to wisdom.
I'm going to go do some chopping tonight and watch the Braves win. But yeah, we hope to see you next Friday night at Monday Night Garage if you live in Atlanta at 7:45. Follow us on Instagram for more details, but it's going to be a lot of fun having beers with fellow money nerds. But Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.